Well, this sermon title, Purple Rain, Purple Rain, is obviously one you need to see in print to really understand what I'm talking about. But you all got that in front of you, so I don't think you have any trouble. In a neighborhood on the east side of Indianapolis, a child is reading a book in her bed, and suddenly gunfire breaks out on the street outside her house. The child is hit. Her body is bleeding. Her mother cries for help. The paramedics and the police arrive. They took her to the ambulance and to the hospital. And the skies turn purple, the clouds open up, and it rains, and it rains, and it rains. The sound of Hark the Herald Angels flows almost unnoticeably from a speaker in the hallway of the chemo floor at the hospital. But you can tell the veterans from the novices. The veterans walk around their bathrobes and their IV drips are on wheels. They have a look of fierce determination in their eyes. The novices are not quite there yet. They still have that startled deer in the headlight look. A woman sits by herself over in the corner, gazing out the window, an empty, nondescript look on her face. A young man comes down the door, or through the door, and he looks around and he spots her, and he moves with haste in her direction. Goes down on one knee and he buries his head in her lap. And she gently runs her hands through his hair as tears stream down her cheek. She looks out the window and sees that the sky has turned purple. And it rains, and it rains, and it rains. The lawyer's office is decorated in green and red. And there's a giant wreath right on the front door. They come separately. They don't even make eye contact as they sit in the lounge. The lawyer calls them into her office. She talks and explains, but they don't really hear her. They sign the papers and they finish. He'll get the kids this Christmas. She'll get them next year. They leave without ever having said a word. The sun is setting. The sky has turned purple. And it's clouding up. And it rains. And it rains, and it rains. The truth of life is that no one escapes living, and living involves hardship and pain as much as it does joy and gladness. It rains and it storms just as mightily on the good as it does on the bad. The truth of life is that God lifts no one above the turmoil and suffering, not even his son. We're all dropped in the middle of it. The redemption that is ours in Jesus Christ is not some sort of luxury cruise through the calm waters of the sea of pain be gone. God's plan has never been to insulate people from the rain that falls, but to prepare us for the storms that come our way. There is a reason that purple is liturgical color for both Advent and Lent. The purple of Advent reminds us that the baby born in that manger was born a king. Purple is the color of royalty. The purple of Lent reminds us that the child born a king grew to be an adult with a divinely human destiny upon the throne of the cross. Purple, therefore, is both a royalty color and joyful, while at the same time a royalty that is melancholy. But in both cases, purple reminds us that our king still reigns now and forever. We're covered in his purple rain, The whole of the world is covered in his purple rain. And here and now in Advent, we're called to look forward to the day our King's promised return, a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. But this day of return comes with a degree of foreboding. The domesticated view of Advent focuses only on the impending birth of King Jesus. But Advent also has this wild, untamed side that is connected to King Jesus' second coming. In a gospel lesson, Jesus tells us that all is adding up to something. All the rain that falls from that purple sky on the good, the bad, and the indifferent, it's all adding up to something. All of the stuff in the world that looks so meaningless, so bereft of purpose, all the pain and the suffering, all the wars and all the disasters, all of the cancer, all of the COVID, all of the tornadoes, all the hopes and fears of all the years are all pointing toward something. Jesus uses the language of metaphor and poetry to connect with the effable, ineffable parts of all of our lives, those tough places and difficult times that defy articulation. Jesus' words are not the stuff of science or history, but are instead the stuff of divine promise. The promise is that God is present and acting within human history, within the good, the bad, and the ugly, to bring about a victorious conclusion, the result of which will be a new beginning, a new creation, where God himself will wipe away every tear, where death will be no more, where mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things will have passed away. It's not a threat. It is a promise. It is a purple promise. We're called in Advent to be enveloped by this purple promise, to be alert and observant. We're called to think and feel faithfully and sacramentally, to sense the nearness of the kingdom. We're called to look for the hand of God in the whole of life, in the good, the bad, and yes, even in that ugly part. It's like the budding leaves on the fig tree, says Jesus. When you see the buds, you know that summer is near. But how and why would things like natural disasters and tornadoes, of wars and political upheaval, be the signs that the kingdom is near? Wouldn't it make a lot more sense for things like the ending of war and people caring for one another after natural disasters and the cleanup of politics as the sign of the nearness of the kingdom? Why does it seem that Jesus is accentuating the negative? No, what Jesus is accentuating is a truthful assessment of reality, as we know it, a reality that stands in stark contrast to the kingdom of God that is here in part today, but is coming in its fullness. Our human frailty, our human sin, our world's birth pangs reflect the signs of how badly we need that kingdom to come. And when we gather at this table, we repeat Jesus' words. When you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. We proclaim a mystery that says it is through death that God is victorious in Jesus Christ. We claim that Jesus died and, yes, rose from the grave, but his death is what atoned for our sin, prepared the way for Jesus' resurrection to be the first fruits of many to come. At this table, we proclaim that our present, our past, is not all there is. This table, we proclaim past, present, and future to be in God's hands, and we wait for the fulfillment of God's promise in the coming again of Jesus the Christ. And Jesus come again in a very real and special way. Every time we celebrated that meal, it's a foretaste of Jesus' second coming, a second advent. Every time we celebrate the meal, it's a sign that the kingdom is near. His purple rain covers us. It forgives us. It resurrects us. It nourishes us. It emboldens us, and it transforms us. What changes at this table is everything. Because what changes at the table is us. This table transforms our lives. This is where we are incorporated into Jesus' purple rain, into the body of Christ. But when the rain of living life does pour into our lives, we still have the faith, the hope, the joy, the love to weather the storm, to sense the nearness of God's kingdom in Jesus Christ, and know that we are never, ever alone, not in life and not in death. The table reminds us of a truth of life, that we do not escape life's great tribulations just because we're Christians, and that God does not escape them either. God is present, working and acting through history, through our lives, through the good, the bad, and the ugly, bringing about the redemption of the entire world. That is the good news that leads us to stand up and refuse to give in to the cynicism and the hopelessness and the desperation of this world. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are able to sense in all things the nearness of God's kingdom. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are able to eat and drink, to live and love without fearing that rain and the storms of life. For in Jesus Christ, our lives are secured, they are saved, they are redeemed, and our lives are covered by the King's purple rain. Amen.